We were talking with Axel Tall in Stockholm, who will tell us about some of his experiences and some of the things he remembers. And first of all, Mr. Tall, could you tell us how old you are?
I'm 64.
And you've lived always in
Stockholm.
Mm-hmm. And could you tell us a little bit about your family and how they happened to be in this part of the world?
My father came over here in 1902. Some of my brothers were only 4, so that's why he came up to this area. He worked as a stonemason, and many of the foundations that he built are still standing 70 years afterwards. My mother came over a little later from came to her relatives in Jämtland. They were married in 1907. My father worked as a stonemason a while after he was married. Then he began farming. And we were 3 boys. I'm the oldest. The first of us next, he's in Pennsylvania, Romans. The youngest is Old Town. Custer works in the glass factory in the Roman is a carpenter foreman. I did 3 years of high school here in Stockholm. Is the only year they had 3 years of high school. It was the year I was a junior. So I did my last year in Cabell. I graduated when I was 17 from Cabell High School. Then I took a summer course at the Prescott Normal School, 6-week course, and started teaching the next fall. My first school was at the East Jemplin. We had all 8th grades and 30 students. And there was one youngster in the first grade that didn't know a word of English. He could speak Swedish very fluently, but so we had to try to first him to teach him the English. I stayed at East Jemplin 2 years. The schoolhouse was quite cold the first year. The stove was on the south end of the building, and the stovepipe ran the whole length of the building to the chimney, which was in the north end of the building. The teacher's desk was on a platform, which was quite common for the old country schools. Second year they changed it over so that it was a little bit warmer, but still it was up on the windiest place on the East Jemplin Hill. I drove back and forth into wintertime with horse and sleigh, and the summertime with a 1-2-4 my father had. My third year of teaching, I went down to Station Street. Or Station Rowing School in New Sweden. I had, as I remember, all grades there also. And that was a nice location for a schoolhouse. It was nice and calm. It was in the grove. I stayed there 1 year and then came to Stockholm.
What was the lighting in those one-room schoolhouses?
The lighting was a kerosene lamp. When I was in the Station Street, Station Road School, I tried to get the electric lights put in. We had raised some money for the school, but some of the parents didn't seem to be in favor of it. They thought we haven't had electricity, we can get along without it. So the lights were never put in that building, when I was there. the year I came to Stockholm, I was in the fourth and fifth grade. And as I remember, the first year I had 56 in my home room. The school was very large because this was in 1928 and 29. And the reason the school was so large because the mills were running and there were a lot of people in Stockholm working in the mills. Then I taught in Stockholm until 1930, the spring of 31. And then the salaries were cut and I'd saved a little money, so then I went to Castile and did my second year. I had done 3 years of summer school before this, so that by going to Castile and taking extra courses, and I think I went 1 year and found it when I completed the second year of teacher's college or normal school. The third year, and the next year, I went and finished my third year at Farmington. And that's as far as they had the teacher's college at that time. They only had 3 years. In my class, was one of the first ones. Frescal only had 2 years, Castine had only 2 years, but Gorham and Farmington had the 2 year course. Then I came back and taught in Stockholm a year or so, and then I went to Kiel in the fall of 35. And I've been there ever since, teaching at the junior high. Except 2 years. 1 year I stayed in Stockholm because of gasoline rationing. It made it hard to get gasoline during the war, and it was hard to travel on account of tires and whatnot. So then I went back to Canada, and then 1 year I was in Connecticut. And the reason I went to Connecticut, because the salary at that time in 1967 was quite a bit higher there than in Canada. I used to count it for that matter, but then they had lost so many teachers that they decided to raise the salaries here and used to count it so that they would compare with the salaries outside, so I came back. As I think back, in Caribou, the changes that have come in the schools, when I first started there, I had six classes a day, about 40 in the class, so I had 240 many years different students. I had all the 7th and 8th grade math alone. And now I think we have 5 or 6 math teachers doing the same job. Of course, we have quite a bit larger enrollment, but that's one of the big changes in Kiel. And of course we don't have as, we have 5 class teaching classes instead of 6. And hold it up.
Let's look back to the early days of the family in Stockholm. Your father had done stonemason work and also had become a farmer.
The most of the farmers that came to farm in Stockholm came here to work in the mills in the first place or in some other trade. My father was a stonemason, and the Swedes to have a home of their own was quite a thing, because in your country at that time was quite difficult to have a home of their own because of the price of the land and so on, compared to this country. But my father worked in the summertime. Besides working on the farm, he'd work on the road with the team on 64, quite a few summers. I remember working for my Uncle John Tall, and they did took care of the road all the way from all the sawmills up to Direct. The winter time, they used to plow the roads with the team, my father and Sargent had Longworth Street, Longworth Hill, and then the School Street down as far as school library in Sweden Line. That would take almost a day's time to plow the road, which was quite often. It was a plow that made the two trenches. It was very hard to do that type of a plow road, but then later on they rolled the road. And my father never worked on the road. He worked at that time down at the mill, hauling logs from the flat cars to the piles by the river. He went there with the team in the winter time. Then some winters he went hauling the backwood, which they sawed up into strips to lay up in the near boxes. So that it's a lot, like the farmers are doing today, many of them, especially small farmers, that they have to have their work outside in order to keep going. Farms, most of the farms in this area were not very suitable for potatoes. They were good farms for hay and dairy. And some of them are still being farmed, and most of the ones that are fairly level and fairly free from stones, and they have to be quite good land to raise potatoes. The way the potato situation is lately, I don't know how much they'll keep on. And my father-in-law, for instance, came to Stockholm to be a sawyer in the mill, Milken Mill. He had been a sawyer in other small mills in the Sweden and Finland. And the reason he bought the farm was because it had a house there that was newly built. Houses were quite scarce in the village, especially fairly good ones. And then he worked as a sawyer for about 5 years, and then he decided to give up and try farming because the potato price was fairly good.
Well, about when would this have been?
This was in the early 1900s. He told me many times, however, Mr. Yundy, that if he had known he was going to stay in farming, he certainly wouldn't have bought a farm to Stockton, because he had a chance of a working woodman to buy a lot of nice farms. And if the Swedes had settled in a town like Limestone or Cattle, where the land was good, things would have been quite different, I'm sure, because a lot of them did very well with the farms they had here, which the land is not familiar with, as productive, good as the land that's towards the east and limestone and so on. And we were supposed to talk. One thing that I want to mention is about the way the welfare worked in the early 1900s. The person that farmed the place where I live, Agnar Felt, had a shock, and the town was afraid that they might have to pay out some money for him because he was disabled. And because he wasn't a citizen of the United States as yet, they paid his fare and shipped him back to the old country. And some of the people that lived in a house that is going out right below where I'm living now, Sven Lind died when he was 37, and this is Lind was left with the family. And the welfare that the people left in those days was very, very little compared to what they're getting today. We hear so much about the food stamps and the welfare and the aid of one sort or another, which is wonderful. But how in the world some of these poor people that when met the special witness, many of them in died young because of the moment they went there. Hardly everybody known on the little hat that they brought. And some of the people that were crippled, how they got along, it amazes me. Many men were killed in the mill, and the insurance they got was very, very little compared to what they should have had. So that the welfare and the aid to the disabled and the widows has improved a great deal. But we should appreciate it, especially once they get the aid. And you compare it with the fact that the people were 50, 60 years ago now. As we realize that money was not so plentiful, but that was the very best all over the nation, not just here.